Luke chapter number 9 here this evening. Luke 9, verses number 23, and we'll read a few verses here this evening. And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the glory, holy angels. This evening I want us to evaluate this scripture and look in Luke chapter number 9. Jesus said to his disciples to follow him. He had instructed his disciples on different occasions as he called them. He said these words, follow me. And Jesus, I'm so glad, didn't just say, follow me, and that was the end of it. He actually showed us and showed the disciples what it meant to follow him. Now, I would think this, if you were to ask someone to follow you, you're going to say to them and show them through your own testimony, through your own living, how they are supposed to live. And throughout Scripture, we can find, throughout the New Testament, the Gospels, we can find where Jesus showed us an example and lived that example of how we're supposed to live. Every Christian, I said it this morning and I'll say it again this evening, and I'm sure you'll hear me say it quite often, every single Christian, every child of God should constantly be growing and maturing in their walk with God. No Christian has ever arrived, has finally got to where they were supposed to, and now from there, they just kind of coast. Every Christian should be growing. Every Christian should be learning. Every Christian should be deepening their relationship with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, And he said unto them, Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And John 1:43, the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee, he findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Throughout the gospel, you'll find where Jesus said to his disciples, Follow me. Now, what does that mean, follow me? What did he mean by that? What was he referring to? I want to look this evening in Jesus' life, the life of Christ, and see areas in his life that I believe we as Christians ought to follow him and follow his example. I want us to look at Luke chapter number 2, if you would please, just a few chapters over. Luke chapter number 2 in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse number 40, And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Just a few verses over in verse number 51, And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want us to look this evening and as Jesus says, follow me, as he said to his disciples to follow me, he's saying to each and every one of us the same thing, to follow him. And what I see, the example we find here as Jesus, as a young boy, as a young man, there's something here that we could see in Jesus. The Bible says he was committed, he was growing and committed in his spiritual growth and development. Here we find him going and learning. He found favor with God and man. He was learning and desiring to grow in his walk with the Heavenly Father. Each and every one of us, if we are to be a follower of Christ, we ought to be growing spiritually every day of our life, maturing. As we listen to this message tonight, I want to put this thought in your mind. How mature are you as a Christian? And are you maturing? We have 5 children, and I like to watch them grow. And our youngest, Chloe, is 4, and I still think of her and remember her as a baby. And when she does things, it just impresses us. Like when she ties her shoes, that impresses us. You know, those little things. When she skips, my wife loves to watch Chloe from behind skipping. And some things dads don't appreciate, I guess, as much as moms do. But that excites my wife. She says, look at her. She's so cute. She skips. But our little girl, when she does things, it impresses us. They are riding bikes, and she took the, well, she didn't, her sisters took the training wheels, and she began to ride a bike without training wheels, and we were impressed by that. We like to see our children grow. We like to see them do things and mature. I like to have conversations. As a matter of fact, this afternoon I called little Chloe over to me and I was asking her about Sunday school and I said, what'd you learn? And I'm thinking she's going to say about Jesus or God or something. She said she learned about a toad today in Sunday school. And I thought, that's good. What did you learn about the toad? She said, the toad is a friend of the bunny. And I just kind of stopped there and I thought, all right, we'll look into that a little bit later, the toad and the bunny. Maybe she meant that God created the toad and the bunny, I think is probably what she meant to tell me. But I like listening to her. I like as she figures things out as a little child. She matures and she grows. If she didn't mature and grow, we would take her to a doctor because something would be wrong. If she didn't continue to progress in areas, we would think and evaluate and we would say as parents, what changes do we need to make? What help do we need to give to her because she's not growing? You know, Christian, as a child of God, as a born-again believer, as a believer in Christ, we ought to be maturing and growing in our life as well. We ought to be constantly learning things about the Lord, constantly growing closer to Him, constantly maturing in our walk so we behave differently at every stage in our life. Here we find Jesus, He, in His personal growth, He was committed to growing and developing. But you know, it takes work, doesn't it? Growing spiritually doesn't happen by accident. It takes hard work. It's something that's done on purpose. It takes dedicated learning. It takes planning. And if we're going to grow as Christians, we've got to do it on purpose. You know, if you as a husband want to grow and continue to be a mature husband, a mature Christian husband, it takes hard work. If you don't grow in your relationship with the Lord, you're not going to grow and become a spiritual husband that God desires for you to be. It doesn't come by accident. It comes by hard work. Wives, if you want to be a spiritual wife, it comes by hard work. It comes by on purpose getting into the Word of God and growing and learning and maturing. Here we find the example. Jesus said to His disciples, follow Me. Follow Me. I'm calling you from where you are, but I don't want you to stay where you're at. I want you to follow Me. Follow Him to what? I believe each and every one of us ought to follow Him to personal, spiritual growth. I ask you this evening, is there a plan in your life that you're following that's causing you to grow spiritually? What are you implementing in your life? What are you doing today? What are you going to do tomorrow? What do you have on your plan, on your mind, that you are purposely going to do tomorrow so that you can walk with God and have the relationship with Him that He desires for you to have? You know, if you on purpose don't plan to read your Bible, it really doesn't happen, does it? And a lot of people say, I'm gonna read the Bible through in the year, and after they get through January, they kind of slack off on that, and things don't happen like they used to. I would encourage you this. Each person ought to be in the Word of God each and every day. Each person ought to have a personal Bible study in the Word of God where you're learning and growing. Each person ought to be reading and growing. Each person ought to be praying each and every day, listening to the voice of God so that you can increase in wisdom like Jesus did. I would encourage us, church, each and every one of us individually, we ought to on purpose be growing as Christian. You know, one of the things I love pastoring, but I'll tell you this, I love being a husband and I love being a dad. Those are two of my favorite things in all the world. I like it when my wife looks at me and calls me babe or honey or whatever she does it calls me. I like it when my daughters and my son look at me and call me dad. There's just something special about that, isn't it? And I realize this, though. I need to continue to grow spiritually so I can meet the needs of those in my family. My wife needs a husband that'll be committed to grow spiritually. My children, they need a dad that's committed to growing spiritually. I can't just stay the same. You know, here as we have committed to follow the Lord and moved here, it has brought us into a whole different area of our life and in a deeper walk with the Lord. And you know, I've never had a child I've always been my five children. I've always been their hero. That's always been a important thing. But just between you and I don't believe my son's in here. Don't let him know I told you this. But he struggled a little bit with us moving here. Matter of fact, he struggled a lot. Matter of fact, he struggled a whole lot. His dad wasn't a hero, and I'm not sure if I am right now, but I think I'm getting a little bit better. I'm going to take him for ice cream tonight and see if that helps. But you know, I made a decision that I was going to follow God. And it didn't sit well with at least one member in my family. Now, he's not giving us a hard time, and he's not necessarily having a bad attitude. I could just see that in his spirit, he's hurting. And I can handle that one of two ways. I can say, just get over it. I can just say, oh, well, it'll be just a phase in his life, and sooner or later he'll get through it. Or church, I can get on my knees and say, God, I've never been here as a father before. I've never been at a place where my teenage son needs my wisdom and needs instruction and needs a dad to understand him and what he's going through right now. I want to seek the mind of God on every issue that my children have so I can be the spiritual parent they need. I realized this, I didn't know what he needed and I didn't have the strength, because at times life gets so busy and at times life gets so hectic and we're packing and moving and making decisions and just all the things to close one ministry out and get into a new ministry here. And it was at times just consuming, but there was someone that in my life that God entrusted to my family and to my care called my son, Jacob, and he needed a dad that walked with God, that got on his knees and said, I don't know what he needs today. I've not been at this crossroad before, but I do know this. He needs a dad that's committed to growing spiritually so I can help meet the needs of my children. Parents tonight, be committed that you're going to grow spiritually. Because God has entrusted you with people in your life that they need you to behave spiritually. I don't want to lose my family by following God. I don't want to lose my children because I'm making a move in our family's life and I'm trying to follow the Lord's leading. And I don't want to lose my family. And that means this, that I need to spend an adequate amount of time with God. I need to grow spiritually so I can help my son grow spiritually as well. Tonight, we need each of us to understand as we follow Christ, that means this, that we are committed to growing spiritually and developing spiritually in our own walk with God. Secondly, here I see here in Luke chapter number 4, just flip a page or two over if you would please, Luke chapter 4, verse number 16, the Bible says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. You know, I find here, and throughout the Bible, you'll find where Jesus was going to the place of worship, the house of God. And I find this to be true. Jesus was saying to his disciples, follow me. And we find the example where Jesus was continuing to grow spiritually and developing spiritually in his walk with the Lord and walk with his Father. But we find this as well, that Christ regularly attended the place of worship. I believe that going to the house of God is a healthy thing for Christians to do. I believe they need it. People need the preaching of the Word of God. You listen, I need the fellowship of the other believers. I need the singing. I enjoy singing and I enjoy hearing people sing. I enjoy the choir and I enjoy special music. I enjoy the fellowship that you get in the house of God. Coming to the house of God is necessary and needed in each and every believer. As we make a transition from a pastor to a new pastor, I would ask you, church, this. Be regular in the place in the house of God. Be regular in the place of worship. Follow the example that Christ had in his life. He understood that going to the house of God was needful and important to the people that were of God. We find the example Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. And the Lord developed a regular habit of going and worshiping. Worship is important in the life of the believer. It's vitally important. The Lord ordained the New Testament church, and the Lord expects and wants us to come together as believers and testify about His goodness and preach and learn from His Word. The house of God ought to be a place where the children of God enjoy coming. You know, I've always wanted my children to feel comfortable in the house of God. Almost kind of like the second home. They came to the house of God and they want to come to the house of God. When we go on vacation, our kids, the questions they'll ask is, where are we going to go to church? Matter of fact, little Chloe yesterday evening was asking me, now, what church are we going to, our old church or our new church? She's trying to figure this all out. I said, we're going to go to our new church. What is our new church? And she's asking me questions to try to sort all this out. Where are we going? Is that our Ohio church? I said, now, babe, we only have one church now, and it's the one we're going to go to tomorrow. She was glad to come to the house of God. The coming to the house of God is an important event in our life. It ought to be something that we look forward to. It ought to be something that we say, God, I'm coming to the house of God, and I want to worship in the house of God. Listen, just simply attending isn't enough. We need to come with an attitude to worship when we come. We need to come to an attitude when it's time to sing. We ought to come with the spirit of, I'm going to sing. I'm going to lift up my voice to a God that's worthy. I'm going to lift up my voice and sing about Jesus who's died on the cross, who shed his blood, who's forgiven my sins, who's given me eternal life. That is something to sing about, church. A God that saved us. God that took us, and we deserve hell. Our sins are commit us to hell, and the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're not worthy of what we have from Jesus, but because He's worthy, we can have life through Him. That's enough for us to come and worship about. Listen, when we bring our families ought to know that we're coming to a special place. We're coming to a place that God has ordained for us to be at. He's put together people. You realize in our church, there are people that would never know each other outside the fact that they're saved and they go to church together. The one thing that unites us, the one thing that we have in common, the one thing that brings us together isn't our job, isn't our resources, isn't where we're at in life or what town we live. What brings us together is the saving blood of Jesus Christ, and that is worth coming and worshiping about this evening. Let me hurry here this evening. I want you to look with me in Luke chapter number 9, if you would please. A few chapters forward again. Let's find another area that Jesus gives us an example of living, Luke chapter number 9, verse number 28. It came to pass about the eight days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, you can mark that, and for the sake of time I won't turn there, but mark that and look at that verse later on. You'll find again where Jesus went and prayed. Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. You know where he took them? He took them to have an active prayer life. We want to be disciples of Christ. If we want to follow Christ, we need to be sure that our prayer life is important. While our Lord had the habit of worshiping with others, he also at times he withdrew himself to a solitary place so that he could commune with God. Christian, listen to me. We need to draw strength from an almighty God, and that strength comes when we spend time in prayer. You know, they say prayer is something that many Christians talk about the most, but do the least is pray. We need to be prayer warriors. We need to have callous knees because we spent so much time praying. We need to be praying for our families and praying for those around us. We need to be praying that we would be our zeal and our enthusiasm and our passion to see folks saved. We need to be praying that God would use us. We need to be praying that God would continue to bless our church. We need to be praying that we walk with God and that we are doing exactly what He would have us to do. Our prayer lives need to be active, and we need to be sure they're important in every day of our lives. Jesus led His disciples to pray. You know, there was something so impressive, if I could use that word impressive, about the way Jesus prayed. His disciples said to Him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. I believe this, that when Jesus prayed, it wasn't just simply a prayer of repetition. It wasn't simply something He was doing to show off. He was communing with His heavenly Father. Think about that this evening, church. God in heaven, the creator of this universe, invites us into His throne room. The Creator, the one that said, let there be light, let the earth hang there, let the moon hang there, let the stars hang there, let the waters be there. Out of nothing created everything. And He says to us as His children, I want to hear from you. I want you to come into my presence. I want you to come with boldness. If you desire something, if you need something, I want you to ask that of me. I would say tonight, why do we neglect in prayer? I like it when my children and my wife come to me and we commune. Matter of fact, every so often I'll say to my wife, she gets a little bit busy, I'll say, come talk to me. Throughout the day, I didn't have this time last week, it kind of kept me real busy here last week, but throughout the normal week, I'll just call my wife and I'll say, what are you doing? Same thing I was doing 30 minutes ago when you called. What do you need? And I'll say, I just want to hear your voice. Just want to see how you're doing. Over these last couple weeks, I've said to my son often, I'll make him drive in the car with me, or I'll kind of force him to be alone with me, and I'll say to him, Bud, tell me what's on your mind. Talk with me. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to know what your needs are. I want to know how to pray for you. I want to know how to help you. I'm your father. I care about you. I love you. I want to know what's going on in your life. And I believe this, that there's a God in heaven that says the same thing to His children. I want to know what's going on. I want to fellowship with you. I want to commune with you. I want you to tell me what your needs are. Yes, He knows what they are. Yes, He can meet them without you telling them, but He loves you so much and He wants to hear from you. God loves us. He wants to hear from His children tonight. If we're to follow the Lord, we need to follow the example that He has set forth in His Word. And it is this, we need to go to a mountain of prayer. We need to go to the place alone in private where we can get alone on our face and commune with an almighty God. Christian, tonight, each and every one of us ought to have a place every day of our life where we fellowship with an almighty God. Get alone. Hear from God. Hear His voice and get direction that you need that only comes from Him. I want you to look with me in verse number 37 of the same chapter, Luke chapter 9, verse number 37. It came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met Him. Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him heartily, departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. All throughout Scripture, all throughout the Gospels, you'll find where Jesus is doing something, and that is looking into a world and looking for opportunities to serve. All throughout the Gospel, you'll find where Jesus was helping somebody. All throughout the Gospel, you'll find where people would come and they would have needs and they'd say, Jesus, I've gone to this person, I've gone to that person, I've gone to the doctors, I've gone to your disciples, and nobody can help me. Jesus was a great example. He went into the world to serve the world. And as we leave these doors tonight, we are going into the world, and it is our responsibility as Christians to serve this world, to help meet their needs and point them to a Savior that loves them, a Savior that died for them, and point them to Jesus Christ. Whether it be in Belgium, whether it be in another country one of our missionaries serve, or right here in Monclova, or the town you live in, the state that you live in, it is our responsibility to go out and represent Christ and help meet the needs of a world that needs Jesus. They came to Jesus because they knew that He would help. You know, as I think about this portion of Scripture, they've gone to others. They've gone to His disciples. They've gone to others to try to get help, but they knew this. If I could just get to Jesus, He can help me. I think of the man that was there on his bed that couldn't come, that was sick of the palsy, that couldn't come and meet Jesus, but his friends helped him down through the house. I think I preached the message here last time I was here about that. And all throughout the Scripture, you find where Jesus was healing the sick, and He was making the blind to see, and He was helping those that couldn't speak to speak, and those that couldn't hear, He helped them hear. All throughout, you find Jesus helping people. Oh, Christian, tonight when we leave the house of God tonight, let's go out into a world and say we are committed to go to a world and we are going to represent Christ. We are going to show them the greatest need that they have. The greatest need that they have is Jesus Christ. Those that are hopeless, we're going to show them hope. Those that are lonely, we're going to show them how to have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Those that are on have addictions, we're going to show them how they can conquer their addiction. Those that are involved in sin, we're going to show them how they can have victory over their sin. Let's introduce the world to a Savior, Jesus Christ, that can help them whatever need they have. Jesus can help meet that need. Oh, Christian, let's not put our head in the sand. The world is getting worse and things are getting more and more evil around us. It's not time for we as Christians to just seclude ourselves and say, we're just going to stay here, stay secluded, just stay to ourselves till Jesus comes. Let's be bold. Let's be victorious. Let's go in a world and share with Jesus. Let's help meet this need. And that need is going to be met through Jesus Christ. Let's take the gospel and meet a world. You know, I believe this. The kindest person someone meets tomorrow ought to be a Christian. The hardest working person someone meets tomorrow ought to be a Christian. When somebody has a need, a Christian shouldn't just drive by or pass by. We ought to be looking for opportunities to help people. We ought to be looking for opportunities to get involved in people's lives and form a relationship with them so that we can present Christ to someone that needs Him. Mark 10:45, the Bible says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." In Matthew 20:25-28, the Bible says, "But Jesus called them unto Him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and gave His life a ransom for many." Christian, tonight, my time is done. Tonight, I challenge us. Challenge us in this area of service. What are you going to do to follow Christ in the area of service? Are you ministering to others? Are you ministering to the needs that others have? How's your prayer life? Is there a place that each day you go to spend time with the God of heaven, the King of kings, the Lord of lords? He wants to hear your voice. He wants you to pray. He wants to commune with you. How's your prayer life, Christian? I know tonight I'm speaking to the Sunday night crowd. But how's your spirit? How's your attitude when you come to the place of worship? Did you come here this evening to exalt Jesus Christ? Do you lift your voice up in singing to sing to an almighty God, the Savior of this world? And are you committed to personal growth? Are you on purpose planning? My children, my two oldest, their first night here, I think it was on a Wednesday, they came home and they said, we need to get $22 a piece. I said, for what? It's a lot of ice cream. For what? They said, we got a book we need in the youth group. I said, well, tell me about this book. I already knew about it. I just wanted to see what they had to say. And they began to tell me they needed this book. It was going to help them with their devotions. And I sat up there last Wednesday night and I kind of got a little tour of what they're supposed to do, reading their Bible every day and learning verses on purpose and serving others on purpose. And they get a little reward for doing those things gave them the money, gladly gave them the money. They've got their little book. And I think I saw Kaylee bring it to church with her even today because they get some points for taking notes during the preaching. And she got this book. And on purpose, that book that she has in the youth group is supposed to help her grow as a Christian. Adults, it's not just for teenagers. I think each and every one of us ought to have a book that we carry. It causes us to learn deeper, memorize more, and be committed in a spiritual growth. I think God would be pleased as we mature and as we grow. But it doesn't come by accident. It comes on purpose. What are you doing on purpose to grow spiritually?